these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away. Asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio Show. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV and the antimedia.org/radio. Really happy to be back. Hopefully, everyone survived the Super Bowl weekend. I know the event was going on down in Houston, and one of our awesome journalists, Derek Bros, was out there on the street putting in work, trying to get to the bottom of what's going on with this massive amount of human trafficking. Not just because Houston is the is apparently the city with the highest rate of human trafficking, but also because human trafficking follows the Super Bowl around. Man, every year there's huge rates of human trafficking. These extremely rich people that go to the Super Bowl, they also have these extremely horrible things they do. And, you know, obviously human trafficking and underage children and, you know, prostitution and stuff. I mean, I'm not, you know, people that know me know I'm not fundamentally opposed to prostitution or anything like that. But, you know, human trafficking is a whole different story, man. This is, you know, this is forced work. And, you know, a lot of it going on down at the Super Bowl. So check out Derek's work. I wasn't able to get him on the show tonight, but he's doing a great job out there in Houston because, you know, this is stuff that we need to look at because, you know, yeah, the Super Bowl is this big thing and it makes a ton of money for the cities and everybody watches it and stuff. But there's a lot of stuff going on in the underbelly of the beast that we don't hear about. And it's just really sad that, you know, these things that you know, these horrible things happen when all this money comes together. So just a little side note there. We're going to get into some news, and then we're going to have a special guest joining us tonight from that was part of the Veterans for Standing Rock that was out there in North Dakota. And we're going to be talking to him about what's going on with the renewed fight because, you know, Donald Trump and his cabinet, very pro-oil. they've ordered the Army Corps of Engineers to finish the you know, the approval of the pipeline. So, you know, they're expecting that the drilling to begin pretty soon to go under this lake and basically, which is part of the Missouri River. And so the fight is going to be coming back at Standing Rock in a major way. And some of the veterans have come out and made a statement. So we're going to be talking to a veteran later on in the show to find out what he thinks and, you know, what's going on with him. That being said, let me introduce my awesome guest tonight, Jake Anderson. What's up, dude?
Hey, not much. Just did a quick scan for Illuminati symbology and the halftime show, and didn't find much. That's about all I'm doing.
I heard Alex Jones was predicting some kind of satanic ritual or whatever. It was a bit of a letdown, I think.
Oh, man. Did you see him on the Joe Rogan Experience?
I haven't seen that yet, no.
I didn't end up writing about it. It was the most... I mean, they were, like, drinking whiskey and smoking weed. And Alex Jones just, like, went off the deep end. I mean, he's gone off the deep end many, many, many times before. But this was, like, epic off the deep end. This was, like... Interdimensional pedophiles are stopping us from being able to access the 12th dimension. Like, not even, I didn't make any of those up. That's the kind of shit he was talking about. So, you know, he does himself a disservice because, you know, when he talks about certain schemes of the globalist coup and, you know, aspects of the deep state, you know, hey, I can get behind that. You know, I think that he's been right on some of the things before, but he does himself such a disservice when he goes off the deep end like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's become kind of like a WWE figure within the media where it's like, oh yeah, Alex Jones, but it's, you know, kind of like a fictional thing. And he's got like a cult following I mean, he gets featured pretty prominently on Drudge Report, and so that keeps his traffic up. But unfortunately, he's so off the deep end with a lot of stuff that it makes a lot of other people look bad, you know, and by association with Alex Jones and the just absolute insane stuff. And, you know, under Obama, he was always like, anytime something happened, it was a false flag, and the government's going to do this, and the feds are going to, you know, the police are going to be federalized, and blah, 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 blah. Now, with Trump in power, you know, everyone knows Alex Jones is a huge Donald Trump cheerleader, and he's just today said he would die for Donald Trump. Now it's going to be interesting to see how his conspiracy theories play out, because, of course, it's going to be like, well, if Trump's doing it, well, the government is good now, and the government's not bad anymore. You know, Donald Trump has already threatened to send the feds into Chicago. That's the type of stuff that Alex Jones used to jump on back when Obama was president. But now that Trump's president, you know, this is the kind of stuff that you see Alex Jones making excuses for or rationalizing stuff for Trump. So, you know, Alex Jones has pretty much exposed himself as a hypocrite, a partisan hack, basically, more or less. He wasn't like that before. Now, keep in mind, I've only known Alex Jones through, you know, his website, InfoWars, and his work during Obama's presidency. I don't know what he was doing before that, because I never even knew about him before that. But I was under the impression that Alex Jones, yeah, he was a crazy conspiracy theorist that, like you said, Jake, sometimes he was spreading good information and sometimes he was like uncovering stuff. But, you know, he really took a shift towards the right, the alt-right, I guess you could say, and got all the way into bed Donald Trump and the alt-right. And now Alex Jones is basically working for the other side at this point. He's basically a pro-government media outlet. And, you know, it's just such a stark difference from what he was just a year ago. It's insane.
The way he described it, he actually addressed this issue on the podcast. And it sort of seems like he doesn't view Trump as the government. He basically views Trump as a coup that has entered the government and divided it. I mean, he kind of views it like basically, you know, he views it as his, you know, Donald Trump is basically a complete heroic renegade who's, you know, got into office and is going to disrupt the deep state, disrupt the CIA and all that stuff. So he's in complete denial, and it's going to be extremely interesting to see how the rhetoric shifts, because, you know, for example, with sending in the feds, because Alex Jones has positioned himself as so anti-Black Lives Matter and anti-Muslim, he can now justify the use of force in certain areas as disrupting, you know, disrupting what he will say are Soros-funded globalist movements. So he's kind of created this, you know, alternate universe where anything that happens is not because Trump is part of the establishment, but because the establishment's trying to take Trump down.
It's almost like how Trump said today, any polls that show negativity against me are fake news. I mean, it's...
Yeah. No. He said any polls that show that my approval ratings are down are the same polls that showed I was going to lose the election, which, you know, I mean, those polls were horribly wrong, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah. I think the polls that were leading up to the election were were not good. But that being said, the election's over. The Trump effect for the non-believers is kind of wearing off, and it's settling in now for the regular people that, you know, they vote Republican just because they may believe, you know, they may follow Republicans more on the economic side of things, which honestly is like I think the majority of Republican voters are not like this rabid, you know, nationalistic, xenophobic Republican base. I don't think that really is the majority of them, though those are the most vocal and the most active. I think the majority of Republican voters are just fiscally conservative people that are honestly pretty moderate socially, if not leaning liberal on many issues. And so those people wound up voting for Trump reluctantly just because they're going to vote Republican. And now that the effect is wearing off and it's like, okay, Trump's going to, you know, Trump's going to do a lot of the same stuff. So, you know, I don't know, man. It's interesting to see this media, the way the media is resettling, and there's a very xenophobic kind of quote unquote free speech wing of the alt-right now that thinks that it's edgy or cool to go around literally saying the most offensive shit possible to try to provoke a reaction out of people. And then when people react, to come out and like condemn it as like some a bunch of violent thugs or something. I mean, this is the state of political dialogue in this country.
Well, it's a tactic.
Milo and Alex Jones are dictating the leading thought people of the alt-right.
It's a tactic. They're getting the left, the alt-left, whatever you want to call it. They're getting the left to react violently so that they can charge them so that it'll be easier for Trump to put them in martial law if something crazy happens. This is very strategic. What they're doing. I mean, they're basically trolling the hell out of the left, which is already torn asunder from an election that saw their party cut in half and in civil war, and now they're not letting up. I mean, whatever you want to say about conservatives and the right, man, they are relentless, dude. When they smell blood in the water, they go for it. They are not letting go. I mean, the Democratic Party is in shambles right now, and the right has all the power, but still they have this tactic right now of disrupting protests and instigating and provoking these violent reactions that are making the left look like a bunch of, you know, rioting anarchists, anti-government anarchists, which will then make it very easy for Trump to clamp down on.
Yeah, it's a very interesting phenomenon, man. And you know, the opposition is in disarray. And Trump is running roughshod over people and trying to ram through all these executive orders and stuff. And again, it goes back to this hypocrisy that we see inherent in both parties, where, you know, under Obama, 2 months ago, under Obama, the Democrats were like, you know, completely in favor of executive orders, and the Republicans were completely against executive orders. And 2 months later, they've completely like switched roles, and now Democrats are like, oh, well, I don't know if the executive branch should have so much power to write executive orders, and the Republicans are like, yeah, give the executive branch more power. You know what I mean? It's just like a total lack of principles. And, you know, unfortunately, I think people like Milo and now Alex Jones and these other provocateurs just make the problem even worse because they're further entrenching people into their own camps. Again, the majority of people in this country are not extremely left or extremely right. They're kind of down the center, and they don't really give a shit about the politics. They want to live their lives. They want to do their own thing. They want to make a living and not be messed with too much while they're doing it. And I think that's about, you know, 80% of the people, that's what they want. And looking at the election, I mean, How many didn't even vote? 65% didn't even vote, bother to vote, you know, of the total population, or a lot of them couldn't vote because they're under 18 or they're ineligible to vote, you know. So I think a lot of people just want to get along, do their own thing, be left alone. And then you got these extremely active, you know, partisan groups that are, you know, stirring up this polarization and stuff. And, you know, that's very, very interesting, dude. And that's why I want to shift this show in a more philosophical direction, because the decay of intellectual conversation in this country is so apparent. Like I said, Milo is leading the right's intellectual revolution right now, and the guy literally all he does is talk about how bad other people are. That's his platform. Muslims are bad. That's the alt-right. I mean, is that really a political idea, or is that just like ignorance? I mean, it's insane. That being said, let me introduce my longtime co-host, DB Schwartz. What's up, man? How you doing tonight?
Not too bad, man. Just news overload, but it's nothing out on mainstream media, so I'm just checking up on that.
Yeah, so what's on your radar right now, dude?
I mean, I sent it over to you. We've been talking about the whole, and me and Jake went over how Pizzagate was basically used as a deflection from the real source of the problems, which is our government. And I think I sent you guys something today that it started in Haiti, which is where the Clinton Foundation is going to unravel. And you'll see starting here that everybody's attached and associated with that is going to go down with them, because this is child trafficking. So it's basically the worst of the worst crimes you can do, pretty much. So that was in Haiti today. Of course, West Coast was what, like 3-4 days ago. So they're cracking down, man. Anonymous took down 10,000 dark websites today. They doxed everybody. So, I mean, we're talking conservatively, several million people worldwide, they're going to be arrested.
Wow. There's a lot of stuff going on with this child trafficking, sex trafficking stuff. You know, the Anonymous took, what was it, like one-third of the dark web Anonymous took down or something today, or people claim to be Anonymous?
And you want to hear something even crazier? They're saying one-third of Congress is going to be arrested.
Oh, shit.
So, you ready to run, Nick?
Oh, man. I wish I could believe that, man. I just think that the rich and powerful are going to be shielded from this somehow.
Here's the thing, man. I would agree with you, except for one specific historical event that everybody listening can look up. Look up the Presidio military base. Look up the fact that enlisted soldiers had their children go missing, had their children contract HIV, had their children contract syphilis, and had their children sexually assaulted on a military base. This is proven. Then what it did was connected a DOD, Department of Defense report that said the Pentagon was so riddled with pedophilia, they literally wouldn't be able to function if they prosecuted. So this is where we're at, man. It's like we've gone over time and time again, and it's finally bubbling to the surface. The worst possible people are attracted to government. Government doesn't attract me and you talking right now. We don't want to be in government because we're regular people. We're not sickos. We're not attracted to power. These people, that's all they care about. They like power. And what's the one thing that can make you feel more powerful than anything else if you're a real sick fuck? Kids, man, just getting over on kids. They're totally defenseless, right? So that's what we have here, man. We have a predator class getting outed. Again, like I said, we have sheep, we have sheepdogs, and we have wolves, and the wolves are getting flushed out by the sheepdogs.
I hope you're right, dude. You know, there's also a big news out of Australia with the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church has been riddled with these kind of child sex abuse scandals and stuff as well. And you're right, dude. These sick mindsets infect high places, and these people, you know, who knows how far and down the rabbit hole it goes. Anthony Weiner is basically getting tied up in an underage sex scandal right now as well. That is also partially what helped bring down Hillary Clinton's candidacy too.
His life insurance file was just riddled with connections that led him down additional investigations that have broken this wide open. And now I'm hearing that the one piece to the puzzle that's going to basically bring it together is Slick Willie Clinton starting to sing.
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit, man, I mean, I was pretty skeptical about some of this stuff. I mean, I knew obviously there, you know, obviously there's pedophiles out there and a lot of them, but I was skeptical that there would be a global takedown of them. But DB was right, man. Every week there's been a new mind-blowing story about these roundups. So
I just didn't... There was another recent one in Scandinavia too. It was only like a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Yeah. Yep. That was in, was that Sweden, Nick?
I think it was like, yeah, I think it was Sweden or Norway.
Question is whether they'll really actually go after the rich and the powerful and the people in the Pentagon. Yeah.
No, it'll go up. It's going to go up to politicians. It may go up to, certain really annoying industrialists and kingpins that are billionaires, and they're using their money to cause chaos and dissent. Yeah, those guys, if they're connected or connected any other way, they'll try to take them down. You have to understand, when you're a billionaire, what you do is you just tie something up in court until you die. So, you know, it tarnishes the reputation, and it destroys things. Like, if you really want to get going, just look at Tavistock. I mean, that's really the main thing. After I sent you guys that stuff today, I looked into it, and they really do control all of our public policy. I mean, we're talking about a think tank that dictates how much, when, where, and what we use our taxes for. Why? Why is that not a civilian oversight?
Yeah, dude, it's nuts, bro. It's nuts. And I think this stuff is a much more common than people think. You know, for whoever these hackers were today that were bringing down the dark web, you know, they must have stumbled into something really bad. And it was big too. So it's much more common than people think, and this stuff happens like.
Just keep your eye on the story, because, you know, Nick, I don't want to go into it, and the reason why is because when something tastes bad, you really can't stomach more than small bites, you know. And this shakes your foundations as a human being, because I've never once in my life ever conceivably thought to hurt a child, and I know 99.9% of people are in that boat, and it's that 1 out of 1,000 or 1 out of 10,000 or whatever that are, you know, they don't serve a function to humanity. They're just pure predators. They don't actually do anything for us. So We've got to flush them out and get rid of them one way or another. If that's life in jail, if that's castration, whatever we come up with as a society.
Castration is a good one.
No, why should you have sexual organs when you've misused them? Remove them.
Do you think they look anything like Krampus?
These people. No. These are fully functioning. They're predators, dude.
Yeah,
I know. There's a ton of. You know, I hate to say it, but you look into Laura Silsby. Laura Silsby was running children out of Haiti. She's now running the Amber Alert under a different last name. Can't remember her name anymore. But there's a look and a feel to these predator types, man. They've tried to blend in, but they all look the damn same. You'll start to see when these arrests come up.
Yeah, man. Well, we're going to be keeping an eye on this. And for those have been those that are listening tonight that are fans of Ben Swan, I don't know if you guys have talked about this yet on your show.
Yeah, where is he?
But yeah, you know, Ben Swan, he just resurfaced. I just saw a video from him on Facebook. But you know, he covered the Pizzagate scandal, which again has been it's wrong on both ends here. So first, you know, there's people that have gone way too far with the Pizzagate thing that are making the whole story sound absolutely insane. And then there's people on the other end of the spectrum that have quote-unquote debunked Pizzagate and have written it off as some crazy, insane conspiracy theory without actually having an investigation. So I think obviously there's some truth somewhere in between. Who knows? It's worth looking into, I think.
And really, is there a gray area, though? Because, you know, like, people say, oh, well, you know, there's not a kill room or underground, whatever, blah, blah, blah. There's no investigation. We really don't know. But the thing is that there's way too many coincidences. And honestly, that Megyn Kelly thing for me sealed it. Because, dude, Alifantis looked guilty as shit talking to her. I mean, even with questions prepared way ahead of time, his facial expressions, I mean, if you do any study on how lie detectors can be cheated, facial expressions have a really, really hard time.
Body language.
Yeah, exactly.
And just to point out how crazy this story has gotten. I mean, that guy, you know, the whole accusation here is that there might be that the guy that runs Comet Ping Pong Pizza may be running some type of child sex ring, right? So the story went so far on the conspiracy side that this dude showed up to the place with a gun looking for a sex ring that was literally run out of the basement of this pizza parlor. Well, it turns out the pizza place doesn't even have a basement, you know, and that just tells you how far twisted the story has gotten away from the original message here of like, hey, we need to look into this because there may be something here because we got these emails from WikiLeaks with these weird kind of coded words, email messages in them and stuff. So, you know, why not look into them to, you know, this guy showing up with a gun looking for the basement that doesn't even exist.
Right.
And so the whole Ben Swan thing, you know, that's basically what he said. He's like, look, I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying it's fake. But, you know, we all saw the emails. So maybe it's worth looking, having some type of official investigation into. And that hasn't been done yet. And that's all he said. And then next thing you know, he's getting wiped off of social media. You know, there's like all these news articles coming out against him. He had to close down his Facebook page. And
he has a family to feed, and we can give him that. We can give him the benefit of the doubt. I'd just say there's a guy, David Seaman. He used to be a Huffington Post writer. He's credible. He's essentially given himself credit for breaking open these investigations. And you know what? A lot of people watch him, and he's had a big impact. So SEAMAN, David Seaman, you can look him up. They haven't wiped him clean yet. He's now going to go into Antarctica, which is probably more our show, Jake. But he's credible, man. He brings up the real facts of the actual investigation going on. Is it enough to link, you know, without a doubt? No. Until you have the actual video evidence or somebody that can corroborate a story with someone else, like two independent witnesses, what do you really have? But it's definitely enough to look into.
Dude, those code words, I'm sorry, like until someone can explain why they have all of these emails with them using coded words like that shipment of walnuts was great, or we have, you know, five hot dogs in the hot tub with us. I mean, look, that's obviously not proof, but it's definitely extremely weird. And until someone can explain what the hell those are, clearly code words. They were clearly code words. No one can argue that. It's indisputable that they were using code for something. So why has no one stepped up and explained what they were code for? Wouldn't that be the easiest way to debunk this thing, is to step up and explain it?
It's a good question, and that's why everyone's still questioning this. You know, I mean, these guys are inviting conspiracy theories about this by being so weird about it. I mean, the amount of people who have come out and spoken out against Pizzagate, it goes all the way to the top. Hillary Clinton came out of basically out of hiding after the election to come out to talk down against Pizzagate and fake news.
I think the reason they're not talking about it is because they're tripped out about it, and I think it speaks to DB's point, which is that this is a massive, massive framework of arrests and legal framework that are, you know, legal actions that's about to come down, and no one wants to go on record saying anything.
Yeah, because you'll screw stuff up. I mean, already I'm hearing reports that people have tried to flee the country ahead of this, and they were stopped. So, you know, I really do think it's going to reach high up. We can branch off to a completely different kind of angle, which is, how does the government prepare with this, an extremely unpopular president, he's the only guy that would have been able to do what's about to happen, because Hillary would have never went after her own donors. So you have a guy who's basically bribe proof, or when he does bribes, he bribes back and forth. He's a kingpin, and he's not a politician. So he's not in the same framework of dirty works. Is he a scumbag that likes prostitutes from Russia? I'm sure. But is he a guy that likes children and sells out national security interests of our country to anybody that gives him $1 million? No, because he doesn't need to. And they're inherently,
because there are accusations against Trump, man.
What is the accusations, though?
Well, he's also accused of, you know, he's accused in a lawsuit by a woman who claims she was raped by him.
Yeah, there's a 13-year-old. There's a lawsuit. Actually, I think that lawsuit might have been thrown out, but there was a lawsuit of a 13-year-old claiming he raped her.
Well, if WikiLeaks drops files, then we'll know. I mean, until that happens, nobody's released them. So,
speaking of which, I'm glad you brought that up. Has there been a WikiLeaks dump since the election?
Yeah. There was Vault 6 that just came out. But what you can do if you go on their Twitter now is they're asking, where's Vault 7? Vault 7 is the stuff the NYPD was privy to, which is the Wiener files. And the Wiener files are going to be released when they're good and ready, because we can go into a million things about what does it take to prepare a government for a possible revolution of people that see on WAPO or New York Times going, they're going to move ahead and arrest the people that you were voting for the last election. What are you going to do about it?
You really think,
you know what I mean?
You really think it'll be Hillary Clinton getting arrested?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's because her involvement directly led to the deaths of people that are extremely valuable. And I don't care who you are, when you piss off enough men with guns, you die.
I could see Podesta going down.
Yeah, him and his brother, definitely. And everybody around him, man. I mean, who's Wiener's protege? The filibustering fool up there. And literally, it's gonna go so deep, dude. And people that are retired are gonna go to jail or probably off themselves.
Well, freaking Dennis Hastert was just outed years ago as a prolific predator and
15 months.
Don't
anticipate these people getting lengthy sentences. All of the stuff going on to normalize pedophilia as a sexual preference has been done for a purpose. You know, even Ruth Ginsburg, she was of the opinion that 12 is the age of consent. Look it up if you don't believe me. You can find it on Google. That's probably why she was put in by Slick Willie. These people they're terrified, man, because they've been doing things that are evil for so long that they're numb to ever getting caught. And now that it's here, they can't deal with it.
I don't think they ever thought that a form of information dissemination like WikiLeaks was going to come out.
Exactly. And there'd been people on their trail for a long time. I know all three of us have listened to Mae Brussel, but you know how hard it is to get information out of actual source documents? It's tough.
Very horrible stuff, dude, that's going on. And I would not be surprised at all, because like I said, this stuff happens much more often than anybody wants to admit. And as we were saying, man, like these positions of power, they attract pretty bad people.
Who are controllable, that's the key.
Yeah, so they attract bad people, and the fact that all these bad things happen to begin with wouldn't be surprising if a high percentage, now, I wouldn't say half or, 25%, but let's say 10% of Congress gets somehow linked in with this stuff, dude. I would not be surprised, because, we look at people in powerful positions, they do some really bad, awkward, weird, crazy things.
Yeah, it's going to be more than that. And the reason why is I've been researching literally anybody anti-Trump almost. Dude, they have the worst connections with shit like Boy Scouts, shit like youth groups. These people are all up in it, man. I'm not saying Trump is a good guy. What I'm saying is these people are far worse, and they were afraid and still are afraid of what he is and what he can do, because they can't buy him.
Yeah, it's gonna, we're gonna see what happens, dude. And if, I honestly, from what I've seen so far,
if he gets killed, you get Pence, or if he gets impeached, you get Pence. Nothing's gonna give you Hillary voters out there. Nothing. Nothing you can do is bringing her back from the grave. She's dead.
What I've seen so far is that Trump isn't going to change much, man. He's just going to carry on with the status quo. He's going to try to do his wall thing and his anti-immigrant thing and that. But on foreign policy and most of the big issues, the deep state issues, NSA spying and all the other stuff going on, Trump is going to carry that stuff on, if not just make it slightly worse than what it was going on under Obama.
Well, the cameras are pointing in on the wall.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's the thing, dude, is that I don't have hope that Trump is going to come through and, like, bring justice to these, you know, sick people that are up at the top, because he's filled his cabinet with a lot of those people already. So I don't really see him doing anything among, you know, anything in the angle. I mean, I could be wrong. I could be surprised, but...
But they're political enemies.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
at least,
why.
At least it seems like that, you know. But, you know, I don't know. We'll have to see. I think it's going to just be really, you know, interesting to find out, you know, who's all involved in this stuff. We know Anthony Weiner is getting pulled in. We know the plenty of allegations against against Bill Clinton. As I mentioned, there's been several times a lawsuit that has been dropped. It hasn't been thrown out. It's been dropped several times against Trump by a girl who said she was 13 when it happened. And, you know, I think this stuff infects everybody at the upper levels in some way or another. Some people know about it. Some people don't. Now, let's not forget one of the most bigger recent examples, which went on in England with, like, the BBC wound up being involved and a lot of these high-level players up in the British government and stuff.
Jimmy, you know? Seville.
Yeah, Seville.
Jimmy Seville was the ringmaster.
He was, and there were others at BBC. A lot of higher ups at BBC went down for that. And
it's pervasive over there. Here's the thing. Yeah. It's so ingrained in their culture to boys' schools that the people there turn a blind eye willfully. And when you bring it up to them, oh, that doesn't happen. Now they're too far gone. There's really no hope. But here we can clean it out, man, and we have to clean it out for the future of our kids, dude.
Oh, dude, yeah. All right, we're gonna be keeping
else.
That because this stuff is developing. This anonymous thing that knocked out part of the dark web. I mean, there's a chance that they hacked some stuff too and got some stuff that can be used later on, or that we may see go make public sometime in the near future, that they may have gotten while they knocked out these dark web stuff.
What they're saying now is that these guys are being able to be tracked by blockchains through Bitcoin. So good job, guys. Way to tour yourself into exactly who you are.
Yeah, anyone who thought that they could camouflage themselves, Tor alone is not even close to enough.
No, you got to be way more elaborate than that. But anyway, we got to move on here. On the topic of Trump, you know, he's come in, he's kind of filled up his cabinet with oil people. Rick Perry is a chairman of the Energy Transfer, or he was on the board of Energy Transfer Partners. You know, Trump's Secretary of State is a he was the CEO of ExxonMobil, you know, America's biggest, most famous oil company. And now Trump has ordered the Army Corps of Engineers to finish the assessment on the Dakota Access Pipeline. And to talk about that, we've got Seth Pogue on the line. He is a veteran that actually went up to Standing Rock. Seth, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, man. What's going on? I'm doing all right.
Cool. Glad to hear it. So, you know, it looks like, you know, this – a lot of people thought what was going on at Standing Rock was done. They thought it was over with. They thought it was like, okay, you know what? You know, we won it. Obama stepped in. And I remember this is like – there was like several times where this happened where the Justice Department stepped in and said, okay, we're going to order a – you know, order this thing to be looked at again. And then, you know, the most recent one where it was stopped by the Obama administration. But it a bunch of veterans wound up signing up and saying, look, we're going to go up there and we're going to stand with the water protectors and we're going to stop this pipeline. And it worked, right? It worked. And it was stopped. But now it looks like it's about to get started back up again. Seth, I mean, what are your feelings on this?
Well, first off, when we went out there, it stopped as far as the violence against the water protector stopped. But they never stopped drilling. In fact, the day... President Obama ordered ordered them to stand down, and the Army Corps of Engineers denied their easement or their drilling permits, whatever you want to call it. They moved in a ton of security. The guy I did an interview with when I first got back, he was actually a reporter out there that stayed in the same tent that I did. And he actually went out to a hill and got like camera shots of a bunch of more like military grade equipment moving in, Humvees and more.
What was up with that surface to air system there that they had? That Humvee mounted one. Did you see that? It's called the Avenger or something like that.
I have no idea why they would have that. I mean, when we went out there, we were being jammed by Project Stingray. I talked to people who somehow it went into their phone and deleted contacts, deleted pictures, deleted video, et cetera, et cetera. And now, with this whole Dapplecoff thing, a lot of people are getting tested and testing positive for different types of poisoning, either Rosal or some type of insecticide, which they're spraying. It's chemical warfare on American citizens. And a lot of the vets, we believed in the cause, but the majority of us, all of us, we went out there because American rights were being violated. I mean, that's what we swore to protect. That's what we, saw our friends, freaking die for. So, I don't know. It was really beautiful to be out there and to be around your brothers and sisters in arms again. And this one vet did an interview. I can't remember his name, but he put it as, we all felt great about it because we knew our enemy actually deserves it in this conflict. When we deployed so many times on just a patrol, we would be talking about figuring out if 9/11 was an inside job, if this whole war was based on a lie, if these people were even involved, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, none of us really knew if the enemy we were fighting was really our enemy or just trying to defend their country, defend their families. And
that's a trip, man. So what area of the world were you deployed at?
I went on a MEU, which is a Marine Expeditionary Unit, which the Marines we call a pleasure cruise. Because you just go from, we started in Hawaii, we ended up going to Singapore, we ended up going to Dubai, and then we ended up going to Kuwait, Kuwait-Iraq border. That's where I got injured at, not from combat, from a Marine wanting to play with his freaking knife. The unit went from that to Australia and Japan and then back to Australia because the ship broke down and then they finally made it back.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting to the way you bring that up about knowing, that when you went up there to Standing Rock, that basically essentially the government was kind of the enemy on the other side. Right. And that to me is what I find really intriguing, because we've come to a point in the United States where guys that used to be in the military are now seeing holy shit, what the hell is our government doing around here? They're doing really bad things to our fellow Americans. It's crazy. There was a huge amount of publicity and awareness about the veterans that went up there. In fact, we covered it on the anti-media a couple times.
Awesome. I appreciate it.
And to me, what really blew my mind was the overwhelming amount of supports from the veterans, man. I remember when they first launched this, they had like a fundraiser and an event page. They were trying to get like 500 vets together, I think it was, or 200 to begin with. And then all of a sudden, it's like they got over 2,000 people going out there. And so I guess my question to you, man, is like, what is it like? What is it like being over there, having to step in and say, we're going to protect our American, our fellow American against the U.S. government? Like, what is that like being a veteran?
It's pretty mind blowing. I mean, actually, but I mean, that's what our oath calls us to do. It calls us to defend the Constitution, not defend the government, not defend the president, not defend the judges or the police or anything else, to defend the Constitution. And right now, American constitutional protected rights are being violated. Our right to protest, our right to assembly, our right to free speech, our right to a free media. I mean, the cops have arrested reporters. They've shot reporters. They target medics when they're trying to pull people off the front lines. When us vets got out there and I heard that from the medics, I went back to the vet tent and like told him about that, and like all of us, everyone I told pretty much volunteered to like pretty much be a shield bearer or a bullet sponge for the medics so they could pull people off. Like, I mean, this is crazy, and it's crazy to hear people say like protesters or terrorists or like anything like that. I'm like, dude, like that's what we fought for. Like, I mean, when I deployed and came back, I had less rights than when I left. And ever since I've been like out of the Marines, I've watched over these last six, almost 7 years, it's just been a constant downhill on more violations of American rights, of more election fraud, of, I mean, name a topic, assassinations. I mean, when like Julian Assange or Edward Snowden or Chelsea Manning or like any of these whistleblowers speak up, like our government like calls them like a traitor, I mean, and of course they're going to come down on them because, I mean, they're the ones that are looking, you know, like, They're the ones that have the spotlight on them. So I don't know, man. It was beautiful. Every veteran I talked to knew that our Constitution and our oath tells us to destroy those enemies violating American rights. Every veteran I talked to knew that right then we could have our weapons and engage them as domestic enemies to the Constitution. There's not one veteran I talked to who did not understand that fact. And yet all of us decided to go out there peacefully, not bring weapons, not bring drugs, not bring alcohol, and to take rounds, get arrested, get pepper sprayed, do whatever, just to stand with, you know, our American brothers and sisters, our Native brothers and sisters, I mean, our brothers and sisters of the entire world. Like, I met people from Scotland, from Norway, I think. England.
Global movement down there, and people were just going all over, like from all over the world. You know, for the anti-media, I was like the beat writer for Standing Rock, and I was covering Standing Rock on a daily basis, and I still cover it whenever we get some news out of there. But it was just so insane to see that happening, and now to hear you know, telling me what was going through your guys' minds while you were down there, it really does blow my mind. So, I mean, Seth, do you think that U.S. veterans are like a layer of protection for like justice in this country, because obviously many elements of the U.S. government have gone rogue on us. So, you know, it may not be so obvious to some people, but I mean, it's pretty obvious when you're out there seeing people get, you know, getting grenades thrown at them. They, not, you know, not incendiary grenades, but smoke grenades and like, you know, basically chemical weapons more or less thrown and used on U.S. citizens. I mean, do you think veterans are going to be, especially in the near future, because as you said, it seems to be getting worse and worse. Our rights are continually stepped on, and now there's like so much propaganda, like you said, people saying like that terrorists are protesters, or even the people saying like we should run over, if protesters are in the street, you should run them over and stuff like that. It's like,
yeah,
the propaganda is working on those people, and they've already come to the point where protesters are so demonized that they don't care if they get arrested, they don't care if they're pepper sprayed, run over by cars. There, a lot of people's mentality at this point is like, well, they shouldn't have been doing it in the first place. But like you said, you guys went over there, and you know, we were told that you guys were fighting for these rights, and then you come home, and it's like, wait, where are these rights going? If we're out fighting for them, where are they going? Why are they, you know, disappearing?
Exactly.
So do you think veterans are going to be like a sort of insulation for kind of freedom and liberty in this country to keep the government in check, maybe like the final check and balance against the federal government? I mean, what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, that's exactly what our oaths call us to do. And I'll give you an example. It's already happened in American history. It's called the Battle of Athens, Georgia, 1946. World War II just ended. Vets came home, and they found that election fraud was taking place. They demanded that the ballot boxes be brought out so that they could ensure that they were empty and no fraud was taking place, etc. Instead, the police and the government took the ballot box and locked it away in a police station. The vet commander told his guys to go to the school and grab the other ballot box. And then they locked it up in their own location. The government sends two police and then three policemen. All of those policemen are beaten, disarmed, arrested, and detained and held at the veteran pretty much stronghold, our headquarters, you might say. Then the veteran commander says, all right, guys, let's go down to the police station. Around this time, the veterans numbered almost up to 2,000. They surrounded the police station. They got on a megaphone and demanded the other ballot box be brought out. They refused. The vet commander told all of his vets to go home and go grab their weapons. They all went home. They all came back with their weapons fully loaded, ready to go. They took elevated positions, surrounded the police station. The veteran commander got on the bullhorn once more and said, all right, bring out the ballot box. Last chance. We're going to open fire. We're going to treat you as domestic enemies. They refused again, and they opened fire. A reporter later after the event asked the vet commander who opened fire first, and the veteran commander, without hesitation, said, He shot the first cop, shot him down in the street, and then shot the next cop who went to try to drag him inside. They kept up gunfire on that police station for 2 hours. The veteran commander realizes he can't keep this up indefinitely. He tells his men to go either to a National Guard armory or a mining facility and grab dynamite and bring it back. He gets on the bullhorn one last time, says, last chance to surrender the ballot box. Otherwise, we're going to use dynamite and blow open the wall, and we're going to come in and storm it. They refused. He used the dynamite. They stormed it. They arrested everyone. They got the ballot box. They proved election fraud had happened. Corruption was there. Not one of those vets were charged with a crime because of that. Like, that's
a crazy story. That happened, what, just after World War II?
Yeah, 1946, the Battle of Athens, Georgia.
Wow, that's
damn, that could have turned into a second whiskey war right there.
Right?
So, do you see, I mean, maybe not so direct right now, at least definitely not yet, but do you see that kind of happening, starting here with Standing Rock and maybe expanding I don't know. Where's the next Standing Rock going to be? Or where's the next time? Like, where's the next place that veterans are going to show up and say, you know what? We're tired of seeing, you know, our people's rights trampled on. I mean, is this going to become a national phenomenon, or is this just an isolated one-time thing? Or do you think this is going to happen some more?
No, I'm everyone at Standing Rock, and ever since I've come home, it has really seemed like Standing Rock was a culmination of just the right people being there, where you made the right connections and they knew the right people. And I've seen so many people come back from Standing Rock where they're being able to give people true updates of on the ground updates of what's going on and what's happening and how many infiltrators are in and confirmed infiltrators and like all the different threats that we receive and everything else. As far as I mean, Standing Rock is still going on. It's still going strong. We had to relocate some camps because of flooding, but the plan at Standing Rock is still the exact same, and that's to build a self-sustaining city. Now, what we need to do, how things can change, is this doesn't need to be a violent thing. I mean, first of all, I mean, how many Americans have you talked to where you've heard them say a civil war is coming or a revolution is coming? Like one of those two. A lot of people know something is on the way. We're in the middle of it. I mean, there's no doubt about it that this government and judicial system and legislative system is corrupt. It is corrupt, and they are puppets to bankers and corporations, and they are selling out the American people. The Declaration of Independence says it is the right of the people to alter or abolish a government that is not protecting the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness of the people. They get their power from the consent of the governed. So they obviously do not have our consent. I mean, Standing Rock, a lot of people think the big thing about Standing Rock is it's on native land. That is a huge deal. They also think that the big deal is the pipeline going through the river. That is a huge deal. But those two are minor compared to the actual problem. The actual problem is to, in order for them to get to that oil, they have to do fracking. Fracking right next to the Oglala Aquifer. The Oglala Aquifer happens to be this nation's like largest aquifer. Over a third of America gets its fresh water. Most of our farms get their fresh water from this. I shared go ahead.
I was just going to say, we brought it up before. It's roughly 40% of U.S. food production.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's not a question of if the fracking chemicals get into the aquifer. It's a question of when. I found this 5-minute explanation of fracking video. I shared on Facebook. And I found this this other guy friended me on Facebook, and he's an actual executive of an oil company. And he's completely agreeing with me that fracking is horrible. The Keystone Pipeline, that oil that they're going to be bringing because it's the tar sands, that's 90% more corrosive than normal oil. So that's going to eat right through the pipe.
I hate to cut you off, but we're coming to the end here. Thank you for joining us, man. We're going to be back Wednesday. We're going to be talking about some up-to-date news and some more philosophy stuff. I don't know who our guest is going to be yet, but we're going to have an interesting show on Wednesday as well. Thank you all for tuning in.
Thanks for doing what you're doing.
Hey, man. Thank you. Here we go through the stereo.